This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, it's 7:35 a.m. right now. It's Monday the 20th of June. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani. We're going to take you all the way till 8 o'clock with the business headlines. Ibrahim, what's on the menu this morning?
So the things that are on the menu includes SPAD, legalizing Uber. We've got CIMB and Lazada tie-up. And of course, the Credit Suisse trying to advise Abu Dhabi banks for mergers.
Big headlines today, but let's start in India, where the governor of the Indian Central Bank, Raghuram Rajan, he is going to be stepping down in early September when his term comes to an end. So he was initially speculated to be open to continuing his role as governor, but then his move to quit was made after he said that due to reflection and consultation with the government, a bit of a sudden exit there.
Yep. So the question is, was this resignation unexpected? The answer is yes, because according to some reports issued by Bloomberg, friends and colleagues have cited that Rajan's abrupt decision to quit came because he doesn't feel that he got the necessary support from the finance minister and the prime minister, Narendra Modi. So there's a lot of politicking going on and he can't take it, so he resigned.
This actually traces back to a speech he made end of last year in 2015 about how he wants more religious tolerance and free speech, which is admittedly a tad political, but you know, free speech and tolerance does help the economy, right? But you won't find any central banks in the world commenting
saying
about
that.
Social programs like this. You know, all they talk about are interest rates. But this is a country where there is very strong Hindu nationalism. So when you talk about religious tolerance and free speech, you're bound to get some flack from it. But I do think that the speech was a tad political. And yet, I think that the Prime Minister and the Finance Minister of India should have come up in more support of him, because he is and he was a very good central bank for India.
Yeah, he was a good central bank for India. In fact, some of this bio that he has is quite stellar. He was one of the youngest IMF chief economists ever. As the former chief IMF economist, he was one of the few to predict the 2008 financial crisis. Some numbers, tangible numbers, have been brought about. He has been tagged as bringing down retail inflation rate from close to 10% in September 2013 to down to below 4% in July last year. This number is one of the lowest numbers that we've seen in India since the 1990s. So there is great benefit that that he has done to the Indian economy.
Well, I think one of the more outstanding contributions that he's done since he became central governor of India Central Bank was the fact what he did to the rupee. Right, when he came in, it was 2013. India's rupee was part of the Fragile Five. You know, the Morgan Stanley Fragile Five,
yep.
And he's managed to strengthen the rupee in the time that he's been central banker, governor of the central bank. And you have to remember now that with China slowing, India is the world's fastest growing economy. That is what he has done as
right.
Governor.
Yeah, he really addressed the current account and fiscal deficit situation as well. And he has had a deadline for the banks to clean up their balance sheet from bad debts, and he's given them up to March 2017 to do that. In fact, he said that he will stay on until that time just to oversee this operation. Now, you know that investing in the rupee, he has actually made the risk to return rewards quite attractive. I mean, it's quite a volatile currency, but the returns that has, the kind of confidence that he has created for India has made that investing, playing the rupee a lot more rewarding for speculators or investors. And that's important for India because they need that kind of environment to bring foreign direct investments into the country. And I feel that because he's so well-loved, while India would not reel from this announcement, I think it will still make investors very nervous.
You know, one thing that was very puzzling is that, you know, these tangible results have been brought about. The question is, why was he asked to technically reapply for his own job? Because since a newspaper report last week mentioned that there would be a selection panel to consider a field of candidates rather than directly offer Rajan an extension to his 3-year contract term. So this was being being speculated as one of the final straw that broke his back.
So Naren Ramakrishna has tweeted in and asked, could it be that his leave from University of Chicago is up? Well, he is going to return to the field of academia, I think, after this. But one thing that's really interesting is they haven't named a successor yet, right?
No, I'm seeing similarities
to the Malaysian experience in terms of naming a successor for the central bank governor. I mean, this could be right up to the very last minute.
And this resignation was so sudden as well. So I guess they would be scrambling to find someone. But, you know, Rajan Raghuram, he would not have a shortage of offers. He seems to have a pretty good CV.
Sure, for sure. 7:41 right now. Credit Suisse and UBS are said to be advising on the potential merger of Abu Dhabi's two largest banks, National Bank of Abu Dhabi and First Gulf Bank. So if this merger comes through, then it would create the largest lender by assets in the Middle East.
So we saw this, you know, the parallel is in Malaysia, actually, in the 1990s, where we saw some mergers and acquisitions happening and consolidation in the banking industry. The question is this the same thing that is happening in the UAE? Because they are facing slower growth, they are facing some problems with the low oil prices, and is this bank mergers, is this one of the many that we will see coming in from UAE?
It's very much oil-driven. I think a lot of the Middle Eastern governments and economies are trying to restructure themselves, Saudi Arabia being one of them, trying to move away from dependence on oil and also trying to list Saudi Aramco, which this year is going to be, if it goes through, it's going to be the largest IPO ever. I think they're valuing that at about $2 trillion. The largest company in the world, Apple, has a market capitalization, I think, of just under half a trillion US dollars. So this company coming out of Saudi Arabia, an oil company no less, having gone through some hard times, is valued at $2 trillion. So back to the UAE, I think this merger, which would just bring the bank up to the equivalent size of our Maybank, right? Almost the same assets valuation as Maybank. I guess this is important for them to kind of see through restructuring for the economy.
But still, I mean, it's a small population, 9 million in Abu Dhabi. And already you've got, it's a fragmented banking scenario. There are already too many banks serving a relatively small population. So the fact that the two largest banks are consolidating, that, I mean... You wouldn't think of the two largest banks ganging up to make a mega bank, right? You would think of M&A activity with a smaller outfit. But I guess
but
now
this is how
rival.
The Arab rolls, right? They go with the the biggest bang there is.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, and of course the two big banks that we're speaking about is NBAD, National Bank of Abu Dhabi, and First Gulf Bank or FGB. And this will be the country's first merger since NBAD NBD, National Bank of Dubai, and Emirates Bank International combined to create Emirates NBD in 2007.
I think it's really interesting here that nothing has been mentioned about their Islamic bank ambitions, even when these banks come from that part of the world.
Yeah, this is quite interesting because perhaps they don't have, MIFC and other, Bank Negara initiatives to actually help or boost that sector. But you're right, Julian, it's very conspicuous that, the Islamic banking portion is conveniently left out in these bank merger talks in UAE.
Maybe UBS and Credit Suisse would give them a nudge towards that direction.
Yeah, why not? And charge them a very handsome fee as well.
The two most unhalal bank in the world, nudging them towards that direction.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.